I'll take a page out of the Mr. Stone's book. Good evening, saints. How's it going? Dandy. Awesome. We're at separate meditation there, Mr. Bolton. Quick announcement before I forget. As we know, it was Marcel's birthday that we're celebrating today. And there will be cake and ice cream for everybody after assembly. So be sure and stick around for that. And how old are you in Celsius now? He's 12 in Celsius. Yeah. he's still above freezing, so that's good. All right. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Before I get too far into my message tonight, a number of you have asked about our progress in terms of getting things ready to go to New Zealand. Give you a quick update. We've done some initial, quite a bit of initial paperwork gathering. We've gotten all that submitted to an immigration assistance company that's going to basically evaluate our worthiness of coming into the country. I don't think we'll have any problems there. I have enough of a varied skill set, so I should be able to find a decent job. The next step for us is to get FBI background checks. So if a number of you get phone calls from the FBI, don't freak out. Especially you, Mr. Hopper, don't worry about it. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. So, anyway, I love you, Mr. Hopper. I really do. I'm going to miss you a lot, buddy. We've got, otherwise, things are moving along pretty well. In fact, Sue and I were talking about it on the way in tonight. And I'll probably only deliver 6 more messages after tonight. Here in Billings. So it's pretty wild to think about. I mean, it's coming close. I guess we'll see what happens. So, at any rate, Galatians chapter 1. What I want to talk about tonight is hopefully a subject that we'll all get something out of, which is kind of obvious, considering that I have the opportunity to address the saints here. What I want to focus on tonight is increasing our interest level in wanting to do God's work. And I think that as we move along, hopefully you'll see why I'm talking about this, but I think it's a subject well worth talking about. We always admire those who are successful. You know, we admire those who are successful in business, and we admire those who are successful in sports, or we admire those who are successful in the arts, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And we should admire those who are successful in Christianity as well, of course. I mean, ultimately, we need to admire Christ for who He is. I think for a lot of us, we seek to have what they have. We seek to have strong faith, to be active in work, not just in our employment, but active in the work of the Lord. To be happy and be content. And, you know, if you look at it, Paul is a good example for us to look at here for just a couple of seconds, but I want to hopefully draw some parallels here. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." Now, it's an interesting intro, but verse 14, he says, "I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." Now, Paul is a guy who's a good example of somebody who was really putting his all into serving the Lord. At least, before he was a Christian, he was a little misled, a little misguided, but he was certainly a man who was zealous. And you can't deny that. I mean, he himself says, and as they'd heard, he was advancing. He was climbing the Judaism ladder, so to speak. He was the guy. I mean, he was really looking for a place of success and of high standing. And then, of course, we understand that God ended up using him in a way that he had never really thought possible. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 5. He's speaking of himself and speaking of his zeal. He says, "Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee of Pharisees." Again, he's a guy who was working hard and before Christ was a man of example, a man to follow in terms of Judaism. And then, of course, we understand that later on, he served Christ. And he didn't go from being a person who served God before he was, well, thought he served God before he was a Christian, to somebody who served God in reality and did it with less zeal. Okay? Same chapter, Philippians chapter 3, you go to verse 12. I think it's a good example for us. He says, "Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Was Paul a guy who had a lot to forget? Was Paul a guy who had a lot of mistakes to overcome? Was Paul a guy who had a lot of things in his life that people would look at and go, "I can't believe you're telling me what you're telling me now, because I know what you used to do, and I know how you used to behave"? Absolutely. But Paul was a guy who was willing to accept who God had made him. He was a guy who was willing to let those things go and to not keep those things from keeping him from being productive, put it that way. Yet, even though we have great examples in the Scripture, and we have great examples in the assembly here, we have a wide variety, a wide range of involvement, and a wide range of, interest. Let's put it that way. Some people, as we know, are filled with zeal. I have to say, Josh Kelly is one of the guys that I'm really impressed with him. I mean, he's come a long way in a couple years, 3 years, 4 years. Wait, four? I mean, I remember when he first started showing up, long hair, and, you know, he's kind of sitting in the back and kind of a little bit of rabble-rouser, and quite everything except the long hair and sitting in the back, but he's still a bit of a rabble-rouser, but that's a good thing. But Mr. Kelly's a great example of somebody who has a lot of zeal. We have people that in the assembly that have been Christians for longer than I've been alive. And that's cool. That's really awesome. Great examples. We have people that are making sacrifices to be here. I mean, now it's easy. We all just hop in our cars and we cringe a little when the gas is $3.20 a gallon and we got to drive all the way across town from, say, way out in the Heights to get here, or out in Shepherd, or out in Huntley, or wherever it is you might be living. We have people that make sacrifices to be here and would gladly stop and pick somebody else up along the way. We have those who are studying the Bible diligently. Mr. Simpson is always a great example of that. He's a guy to follow. It's funny, when I talk to people and I tell them, you know, where I attend and where I assemble, you know, I always want to say in heaven, but I don't get it, so I tell them, and I say, I assemble with some of the people, with people that I have never seen the equals of on this earth. People that know the Scripture. That not just the parts that are their favorites, if you will, but the Scripture inside and out. We have great examples of that. We have great examples of people who are teaching, who are out there getting Bible studies and teaching people the difference between falsehood and truth. We have great examples of that. Mr. Ferguson is a guy who comes to mind, and I mean, you guys have Bible studies all the time, and you're always, you know, up to the Ferguson's house, somebody else is getting wet in their pool, man, and getting raised a new creature, you know? Great example. And then it's a good thing to remember. It's a good thing to remember that we have those good examples. And on the other side of the coin, we have to be careful that we don't allow those good examples to take our place in doing the work. Because otherwise we'll grow lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3 has something to say about that. It's not a happy place to be. It's important for us to understand that we need to attend here. We need to be here to assemble. We need to be here regularly. our attitude needs to be giving the first fruits to the Lord. JP talked about that in our attitudes. You know, I think a lot of times people that don't make it have a leftover mentality that I'll just give the leftovers to God because I'm not going to use them anyway. If that's our attitude, as JP said, we got to repent. You might neglect some opportunities to study as well. You're not going to make it if you don't have your nose in the book. And of course, the other side of that too is if you're not doing anything. Mr. McHenry, he used to have a great response when, you know, he'd ask somebody how they're doing, and they'd say, "Oh, they're, you know, working on this and working on that," and he'd say, "Well, how? How are you working on it?" Because that's an easy thing to say. You know, I'm trying to quit smoking. I don't smoke, but maybe use an example. I'm trying to quit smoking. I'm just picking one that I used to have struggles with. I'm trying to quit smoking. Okay. Well, how are you working on that? I mean, really, you got to ask yourself that question. And Tim was the kind of guy who was willing to ask you for you and get you to stop and think about it. And of course, we've all been a part of this where, well, maybe not all of us, but many of us have had the unpleasant opportunity to see people fall away, to see people forsake the Lord, turn their back on the assembly and walk away. That's not a pleasant thing to remember, but it is something that we have to be very careful of. So my question is, what does it take to maintain a high level of interest in the work that goes on here? What does it take to make sure that all of us, on an individual and collective level, are engaged? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we find Paul here. In Colossians chapter 1, we find Paul praying for opportunity here. Verse 9, he says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Paul's praying for the Colossians, and he mentions three things which contribute to the interest of the Christians, the interest, the desire, the zeal, the ability and the desire and the motivation to continue to overcome. And he mentions three things here. He prayed first that they might be filled with knowledge. You know, brethren, we have all encountered people that have real zeal. But a lot of those people have zeal, but not according to knowledge. I mean, I've had the opportunities to study with folks in the past, and it's amazing how much people think they know. How much people think they know. Until they really start looking at it, and they don't really know. Well, the same should not be said about us. We should really know the Word. Knowledge is really the first step in this. And knowledge of a subject always increases interest in that subject. Think about sports as a great example of that. If you are a sports fan, which I'm really not, I mean, I like to play some sports, but I really have no desire to watch grown men throw balls through hoops or throw them at each other. I just, whatever. But that's just me. But the thing is that if you're interested in that kind of thing, the more you know about it, the more interesting it becomes to you, right? What if you're interested in playing chess or playing or gadgets and electronics and so on and so forth? The more you know about those things, the more interesting they become to you. The same is true with really any hobby. I mean, if you're ever going to get good at anything, you're going to have to learn more about it. That's why I never bothered to snowboard. And besides that, I don't have health insurance and I don't want to break something. But and believe me, I've seen enough grown men fall on their faces and get up very slowly on a snowboard that I have no desire to know anything about that. never mind, I'll just leave that one where it is. But again, The same is true. This is true about anything really we want to be interested in. We have to know more about it. And knowledge of God's will increases our interest in it. The Colossians bore fruit in response to their understanding of God's grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. The Colossians were bearing fruit because they understood and they knew of God's grace, and they were able to grow in knowledge and grow in produce more fruit. We learn more of God's. The more we learn of God's will, the more excited we will become to follow it through. I remember, and I used to see this. I go back to this time a lot, but I remember when we were studying at Mr. Olson's house. I think it was on Mondays for a men's Bible study, and we were going through Hebrews. And I remember something clicked in my head, and it made so much more sense. And a lot of the stuff that I'd been learning, and it fell into place, and it made a lot more sense. And I went out and, you know, took my double barrel shotgun and blew people away. But the point was is that it was that much more interesting to me. Once I figured it out and once those parts start to fall in place, I can speak for myself and know that that really increased my interest and increased my motivation as well. And this is not just something that is for us today. It was something that God had originally planned and I think put into us. Let's go to Psalm 119. I'll go to verse... I'm going to skip to three verses. We're going to do verse 111, and then 162, and then 164. Verse 111. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. The testimonies of God are the joy of his heart. 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. 164. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Just three examples out of really all of Psalm 119. There's many more examples. But I like verse 162. You rejoice over God's word like you found spoil. Great spoil. I mean, I've never been in a battle, a physical battle where you run everybody out and you get to take whatever there's left. But yeah, I mean, that's got to be pretty cool. You know, you get to pick up all what they left. And rejoice in it. I mean, David understood the value of the Word of God. But obtaining this knowledge requires diligence. As it's been said before, we do not receive the knowledge of God's Word implanted by putting it under our pillows at night. And really, it takes work on our part. And we all work at different speeds and different levels and different levels of understanding and so on and so forth. I'm sure Mr. Simpson didn't just wake up one day and say, wow, back, it makes a lot of sense. It probably took a lot more time to get to that point, I would assume, unless there's something about you I don't know. But in general, it takes a lot of effort to work this out. And that effort is well rewarded. If we are negligent, we will have to be taught all over again. Hebrews chapter 5. This is a good reminder for all of us. And if you think about who this book was written to, it was written to the Hebrews. These are the people who had thousands of years, a couple thousand years, worth of Old Testament scripture pounded into their brains. Okay? But yet in chapter 5, verse 12, the writer says to them, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Without effort, brethren, without a desire to put this in, we're not going to advance. And we'll be scolded just like they are, or they were. To desire this, to grow, we must always desire the word like a babe does milk, and then as a grown man desires a good healthy steak, if that's your thing. Maybe it's a big healthy veggie burger if you're not a... But anyway, the point is, 1 Peter chapter 2 basically tells us that. Let's go there real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The whole point of this is that when we become Christians, we are supposed to desire to learn more. It is not simply we come out of the water, woohoo, we're done, and we know everything we need to know, and I just get to sit back and wait. That mentality will kill you. It will. We've seen it happen. That mentality will kill you. David the psalmist, of course, he provides a number of other good examples, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to continue on, but read Psalm 119 once. If you want to see a man who understands the value of God, understands the value of His Word, and desires to know more about it, Psalm 119 is a good place to go. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 real quick. So knowledge is the first part of that. A desire to seek knowledge is really one of the main catalysts to growing in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, in verses 9 through 10, we note that he also desired that they walk worthy of the Lord. So to knowledge, we must add the second part, and that is participation. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, let's begin in verse 3. Paul's writing to the Philippians, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now this is the part that I think is really interesting. It ties in with the participation. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul didn't tell him that I rejoice that you're a bunch of couch potatoes. He said, I rejoice because you've been involved in this. Since day one, your participation in the gospel has not only been a good example to Paul, but to all the rest of them. And that the same should be said about us. That we are participating in the work of spreading the gospel. And maybe it's not that we're up here all the time. Not all of us can be a Mr. Simpson. Not all of us can be a Mr. Wilson. Or a Mr. Kelly. And that's a good thing that all of us can be Mr. Kelly, because we never get anything done. No, just kidding. I'm just teasing, Mr. Kelly. You asked for it. But this is, you know, participation increases interest as well. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's fly fishing or sports or other hobbies or whatever. The more you participate, the more you want to participate. Any of you ever played on a sports team? Just raise your hands if you have. Now, how many of you sat on the bench? I'll keep my hand up because I did. It's not a lot of fun to sit on the bench, is it? I mean, you have to be given opportunities to play, and every once in a while you do. And you know, it's not much fun to watch from the sidelines, though. And after a while, it gets real old. It really does. So the same can be said for our involvement in the gospel. We have an opportunity to participate in something that will never, never be taken away from us. You know, all the world records that we could ever set in track and field and golf and golf and tiddlywinks and everything else, all that stuff is going to burn anyway. It's going to burn. But you have the opportunity to participate in something that has been ordained since before the world was created and will last forever. What greater thing could you possibly do? I can't think of anything. Of course, there's blessedness in the very doing of God's will. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 13. Of course, this is Jesus, but he says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. There is joy in participating in the work that God has sent you to do. And that joy is made full by taking part in it, by really doing it, by not just showing up here once in a while and giving everybody the thumbs up and a pat on the back for all the great work they're doing and doing nothing yourself. There's a lot to be done here. And as the congregation continues to grow, there's going to be a lot of opportunities that people are going to have to step up and fill those gaps. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Of course, this is a classic one, but let's start in verse 19. It says, "This you know, my brethren, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." It gets back to my first point. Knowledge of the Word of God should increase your participation. It's amazing how those two things work together. Happiness also comes to those who walk on the ways of the Lord. I mean, I've got to go to Psalm 119 again. It's a great illustration. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart." David is a great example of somebody who the Scripture describes as a man who sought, who was after God's own heart. This man would know what it means to desire that especially. Could David have the same opportunities that we do to walk with God? No. He didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling in him. He didn't have God's Son there in the heart to be able to walk truly with God. So there is great blessing in that. Certainly, there is a happier conscience and a satisfaction of knowing that you are a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are hypocrites. And there's people who like being hypocrites and who advertise that they're hypocrites. But brethren, that isn't a good feeling, is it? You know what people, you know, I'm in the sales world a little bit, and I do a little bit of sales, and I do some management. And we went to a sales training here recently, and one of the things that this guy is telling us is basically that sales isn't about necessarily the product. It's about convincing people that you know more than they do. And I disagree. You know what I think people want to know? I think they want to know that you're sincere. That you're not a hypocrite. That you're not telling them to walk one way while you're doing the exact opposite. Sincerity is what's going to win souls. Okay? It's not some dog and pony show. So any labor that we do for the Lord will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 makes that pretty clear. And that leads us to the third thing that Paul mentions and that he prays for with the Colossians, that will lead to a heightened interest in the Lord's work. And that is success. I think that if we look at Colossians, let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 so I can point this out. But success in anything will increase interest. If you're just not any good at a sport, you'll eventually give it up, i.e. basketball for me. I'm just not any good at it, so I gave it up. It's not much fun to get beat all the time. And nobody else knows anything about that. Either. I'll just leave that alone too. Colossians chapter 1, in verse 10, he says, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." What's our hope? I mean, I think a bottom line, our hope is to be pleasing to the Lord and bear fruit. I mean, if you can do that, if you can walk in a manner that really does please the Lord and you can bear fruit in that, I'd call that success. So, success increases interest. And failure to succeed has led many to lose interest in various ventures. Businesses fail all the time because they don't have that immediate measure of success and people aren't willing to put the effort into it. People fail oftentimes in Christianity because they find that it's kind of difficult. That it's not just a flick of the switch and everything's gone. All your bad habits are gone, and boy, getting out of bed on Sunday morning's easy. I mean, it's easy for us now. We have kids that don't let us sleep past 7 o'clock. So. But the point is that people fail if there's no success. And one of the things that you can really do to help increase your success is by getting a Bible study. You know, I remember when Mr. Simpson, when I was a real young Christian and or was just getting involved, and Mr. Simpson said that a couple of times, I thought, man, you are crazy. There is no way that I'm going to get anybody into a Bible study right now because I don't know what I'm doing. And guess what? Opportunities presented itself where I got to get into a Bible study and I got to get thumped a couple of times. And as much as I didn't like losing. If nothing else, I didn't like the fact that I got thumped. And guess what? When I did have some measure of success, it was a whole lot more encouraging. But I didn't get there simply by getting another study. I got there because I learned from it. And that's where really each of us have to look for. Of course, then there's personal work. Things you have to work on for yourselves. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I am my own worst critic. My wife will tell you that. If I fail in some regard, if I make a mistake in some regard, man, I will beat myself up until I am black and blue up one side and down the other. I feel like Jim Carrey in one of his movies where he's beating himself up in the bathroom, you know, to try to get out or something. But the thing is that I'll do that to myself, you know, internally and spiritually. And that's not a real positive thing. Instead, what we need to do is focus on the fact that we have the tools that we need to succeed. And understand that we have a loving God who wants us to succeed as well. And of course, the last portion of this, I think, is that being involved in the assembly and building up one another really leads to, I think, individual success in terms of Christianity. Because if you're here and you're shaking hands and you're smiling and you're happy and your attitude's good and you're here to build each other up, guess what? You're going to receive it as well. If you're only here to get everybody else to do everything for you, then you're missing the boat. You're missing the point. I mean, the truth is an amazing gift. It is something that is so valuable. And the great thing about it is the more we give it away, the more it increases. So, if you're interested in the Lord's work or you've lost some interest, get into the Word. Start there. Put out a plan of reading. I don't care if it's one scripture a day. Crack your Bible every day. Get into the Word. And do some prayer. Like I say, I don't even care if it's one scripture a day. It's much better than doing nothing at all. Second, participate. Get involved. You know, find a way that you can help edify the saints. And you know what? They don't always have to know about it. There's a lot of things that you need to do that need to be done in this building that go unnoticed until they're not done. Cleaning the building is one of those things. It might seem like a menial task, but take pride in it. Step up. There's lots of people who do this all the time. And I'm sure there's a lot of those people who would like a break once in a while. And you really benefit from the opportunity. So get involved. Participate. And of course, lastly, do those things so that you can be successful. Seek to walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Seek to walk in a manner that is edifying the saints, and seek to walk in a way that will make your light shine to this world, and you will have success. Ultimately, brethren, what we're about, what we're here for, is that we want to increase the kingdom of God. We want to grow, we want to bring people in, and we should be thankful that God has qualified us to receive the rewards to come. That He has called us out of the world, out of the 4 billion people, or however many it is on this planet, called us out to make us useful for Him. That's a great opportunity. We should all sit a little taller because of it. So, get involved. Brethren, it's only going to get harder. But with effort, with perseverance, and with interest, we're all going to bring more home. And that's awesome. And I want to see all of you there. Even though we might not see each other physically the whole time for the rest of our lives, I want to see all of you in heaven. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You very much for this day. We thank You for the continued blessing of Your Word. We thank you for the awesome assembly. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us the opportunity each and every day to open your word, to take it in and to be changed by it. Lord, I pray that you help us to increase our interest level in the things that are truly important in your kingdom and in growing that kingdom. Help us, Lord, to understand that those things take work and that there are no shortcuts. Lord God, I thank you very much for this assembly here in Billings, for the great example it is to me, and also I think to many other churches around the world. I pray that you help us to take our responsibility seriously and that you help us to understand, Lord God, that we are your perfect plan, that we are your army, that we are the ones whom you have called and chosen and made the light to this world. Lord, there are a great many people out there who are being deceived. Lord, help us to find those people. Help us to teach with sincerity and love and kindness. And help us always, Lord God, to desire to seek and to walk in a manner that is pleasing to you. Thank you so much for Christ, and it is in his name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.